Golden State Media Concepts Sci-Fi Podcast. Together we dive into the world of sci-fi and science fiction, from episodes of Star Trek, Star Wars, to The Walking Dead, Resident Evil, all the hot new science fiction movies from the back doors of Marvel or DC. The Golden State Media Concepts Sci-Fi Podcast. You'll never look at science fiction the same way again.
Hello there, everybody. This is Jay Snook, back for another sci-fi podcast episode, GSM, but brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. So, another week, more sci-fi news. So, we begin with the Crimes of Grindelwald final trailer. So, let me tell you a little bit of backstory first about the Harry Potter universe. So, first of all, it starts a series of books, 7 of them to be exact. I've read them all. Actually got me back into reading, so bravo to J.K. Rowling for that. I wasn't much of a reader before these books. There was actually a total of 8 movies because they broke the last one, which was Deathly Hallows into 2, because it was one of those books where they couldn't really leave anything out. And it actually made sense because there was so much that happened there. As far as the book to movie ratio went, they were pretty good, pretty close to the books. There were some things they left out that, you know, I was kind of bummed about. Like, there was in the second book, Nearly Headless Nyx, which was played by John Cleese. You know, he had a 500th death day, which we didn't get to see. In the 6th book, they had one point where they had a centaur teacher. It sounded really, really cool, but it did never sadly jump to screen. And so, like, it was a series of books, a very popular series of books, a huge fan base. And what was it, about maybe 2-3 years ago now, they decided to do a kind of a new film, which was called Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, which was actually a book in the Harry Potter universe already. In Harry Potter's time, it had been, you know, done and all that stuff, and pretty much just was a book that almost like a, because Newt Scamander was the man who made this book, and he was basically like a zoologist of sorts, where he, you know, would go to these different places, find these rare creatures, catalog them, things like that, right? That's kind of what he did in this universe. And the first film took place, I want to say, about 100 years before Harry Potter's, you know, life. So it was way, way in the past. And we find out that there's a whole magical, like, council and everything in North America, as well as in, like, you know, Great Britain and England and all that. And that there was different terms for muggles. There was, like, nomages, things like that. And what happened in the first movie, in a nutshell, was, you know, there's, like, this weird, mysterious is probably more the correct word, blonde wizard who's going around causing all kind of havoc and getting followers, but nobody can find them. And just warn you now, I am going to reveal a spoiler. So what happens in the first one was you see that there's Colin Farrell as this one character, and he's helping out this one person who, I think the correct term there is kind of a squib, might be the right term, where they have magic, but they don't really know how to control said magic, so they're kind of doing more harm than good. And we find out at the end that Colin Farrell is actually Grindelwald this whole time, played by Johnny Depp, which, you know, pretty much in this time period, he was the darkest, most evil wizard before He Who Should Not Be Named, Voldemort. He was the most dangerous one, the most powerful, the one that was the biggest threat to the magical world, right? That's who he was. And so we find out, you know, he's been around all this time. And in this movie, at least we've seen the trailers so far, because I was at Comic-Con and I got to see, you know, actually Johnny Depp as Grindelwald come out, and they revealed a new trailer then where we get to see some things about a young Dumbledore finally, who was played by Jude Law. We get to see a lot more of Newt Scamander, played by Eddie Redmayne. We get to see actually some pretty interesting scenes with you know, Grindelwald, played by Johnny Depp. And in this new trailer, it reveals a few things that are really, really interesting. So this, of course, is the sequel to the last film. So far, I think there's a planned series of maybe 5 or 6 films. Will they happen? I'm not sure, but that's what is planned at this time. And this film is taking place where basically the gist of it is Grindelwald is out there. Grindelwald is his big threat. And Dumbledore pretty much asks Newt Scamander, you need to, you know, find Grindelwald and apprehend him. And he won't do it. And there's a reason I'll get into that in a second. But he won't do it. He can't bring himself to do it for some reason. And at this time, you know, the magical world is starting to get a little bit more hectic, a little bit more crazy, because Grindelwald is getting all these followers, and, you know, he's a very powerful wizard and is a real threat to this magical world. And so what are some brand new things we see in this trailer that we haven't seen in the previous two trailers? And this is the last trailer I'm talking about, by the way, the final trailer, as they're calling it. So, for starters, we do get to see some more scenes of Nicholas Flamel, who Nicholas Flamel was in the first movie, actually, and in the first book, had the, you know, a Sorcerer's Stone and was using it with alchemy to pretty much, like, you know, live forever. So we get to see a bit more of him in this trailer, not as much as we did the last trip, but we do get to see a bit of him. There's a lot of scenes of Grindelwald. There's some scenes of Grindelwald where he's being taken away. There's some scenes where he escapes. We get to see him make some really cool, you know, really powerful speeches to his followers. There's a couple of scenes that stand out for me in this trailer, but one scene that really stands out is, again, we see where, you know, Dumbledore says to Newt Scamander, I'm sorry, I can't go after, you know, Grindelwald myself, I just can't do it. And then we see him in front of the Mira Erised, which, you know, is desire spelled backwards. And we actually see him seeing Grindelwald in the mirror, right? So the history here is that I think Grindelwald and Dumbledore were friends at one time when they were younger. And Dumbledore himself, I think, is either has an attraction to or likes or maybe even be in love with Grindelwald. Not sure if the feeling is mutual, but that's the reason why Dumbledore is like, I can't go after him. That's why. Because he has feelings for him. He's like, I can't hurt someone who I have feelings for. I can't do it. So that's a really big scene in this trailer. Another really big scene in this trailer is we get to see Nagini. And if you don't know who Nagini is, Nagini was the snake of Lord Voldemort. And ended up being later one of his Horcruxes, which basically is, you know, something that made him as powerful as he was. We get to see Nagini in this trailer, and we get to see her in her human form and in her snake form, which is really a pretty cool sight to see. And like I said, we get to see a lot of action here, a lot of magic used, a lot of, like, you know, suspense. There's a little bit of comedy dabbled in there, and really gives you a feel for where this movie is going to be going, and that clearly things are a lot darker in this movie than they were in the first movie. So the stakes are higher. Newt Scamander is actually, I think, has sort of been in hiding. But when Dumbledore asks him for help, you know, he jumps the chance to do it. And I have to say, too, I had my doubts about Jude Law being young Dumbledore, especially because there are some other people whose names are being thrown around that made more sense to me. But in the last trailer and this trailer, you really get to see that, you know what, though? He does a pretty good job with young Dumbledore. He really does. You know, it's a character that you're just like, hey, this is, you really kind of sympathize with him. You see, you know, because Dumbledore was so different in this time from, you know, where he was in the rest of the movies, you know. And another thing you get to see too, and I watched this again today, and I'm not sure who has it, but you do see in this new trailer the Elder Wand. And I think there's either a point where you get to see Dumbledore holding it and using it, or Grindelwald holding it and using it. And for those that don't know, this wand is a big deal. It's believed to be one of the most powerful wands in the whole magical world, right? That's just what it is. And it's very dangerous. It's believed to, many don't even believe it exists. But of course, in Deathly Hallows, we find out that it does. And so does two other magical objects that were all in a book, I think, by Beedle the Bard. So all these three objects that were believed to be just fantasy are real, and the Elder Wand, at least in the later Harry Potter movies, we found out, and the books, of course, that Dumbledore has this wand, right? So we get to see that in action, and it also looks like, because again, in Harry Potter's time, to my knowledge, there is no magical world in North America, so the events that may happen in this movie may, you know, be one of the reasons why there no longer is a magical world in North America, and why there's only one in, like, England, Great Britain, all those countries. So, really, I am really like this trailer. I'm very excited for this trailer. I am very pumped for this movie. And I personally think this movie is going to be absolutely wonderful. If you liked Fantastic Beasts, Where to Find Them, you're going to love this movie. And one more thing that in this trailer that's really cool is you also actually get to meet Newt Scamander's brother. You only see him for a little bit. There's a little, you know, scene between them toward the end. But that was kind of cool, too. I'm like, oh, cool. Newt Scamander had a brother. And, you know, you get to see his brother there. So that's kind of cool. So I believe this movie comes out in November or December, around there. One of those two dates. So, yeah, definitely check out this trailer and previous trailers. And, yeah, look forward to this movie coming out in the next month or two. So, other than that, we're going to take ourselves a short little break, and we'll be back in a minute.
Want to find out what movies to go see? Then check out the GSMC Movie Podcast. It's your ticket to the latest movies, whether it's a new blockbuster event, romantic, comedy, or action flick. This show has got it all covered. They talk some what to go see now. Don't bother. What's hot on Netflix and everything in between? That's GSMCpodcast.com/movie-podcast. When it's all about the movies, it has to be this new show. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit GSMCpodcast.com for more info.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching. The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Hello there, everybody. This is Jay Snook back for more sci-fi podcast news. So the next thing I'm going to pass, there was a movie that came out this week called Venom. It actually came out 2 days ago. And let me give you a little bit of history of how we have seen Venom recently. So Venom showed up in the 90s cartoon, and very well, I might add. Probably one of the better depictions we've seen of Venom, where, you know, he worked at the Daily Bugle, Peter Parker worked at the Daily Bugle. Peter Parker somehow, you know, was responsible for Eddie Brock losing his job. And this one, Eddie Brock was a bodybuilder, and he had a big hatred for Spider-Man. And at the same time, the symbiote wasn't too fond of Spider-Man, because Spider-Man originally wore the symbiote for a while and thought, this is great, it's a new suit, I'm stronger, I don't have to wear my old suit anymore, so this is great. But finds out that, you know, it's increasing his rage and his anger and really making him somebody he doesn't want to be. So he finds a way to get the suit off of him and, you know, reject it. And so, of course, when, you know, the suit meets Eddie Brock, they're made for each other. They're both like, you hate Spider-Man? I hate Spider-Man, too. You hate Peter Parker? So do I. Wonderful. So, you know, on this cartoon, we see, like, you know, Venom is a big threat because they both don't like, you know, Spider-Man, Peter Parker, same person. And in the cartoon, this cartoon from the 90s, you know, we see that for some reason, Spider-Man's spider sense doesn't work on Venom. So he doesn't know when Venom's coming, you know, when he's going to attack, nothing. So, like, and Venom has his own kind of webs. And there's even an episode, a scene in an episode where Venom actually unmasks Spider-Man. And for a while, Peter Parker's afraid, oh my God, everyone's going to know my secret identity. So this fear is going on. And eventually, I believe in the cartoon, we see Carnage show up and Venom comes back. And eventually, like, you know, in the comics at least, Venom and Spider-Man become temporary allies because Carnage is so dangerous and so powerful and this, you know, really dangerous, dangerous threat. So that's what we got to see in the 90s cartoon. Then we had Spider-Man 3, which, you know, in that trilogy of Spider-Man films, that was probably the worst one. They definitely villained it to death. There we had New Goblin, we had Sandman. At the end, and of course, we had the thing too where Peter Parker, Tobey Maguire, and this one gets the symbiote thing so great at wonderful first and all wonderful, this cool, great thing he has, and this new suit, and new powers, and new abilities. And we see in this movie that it changes his personality too, where he's an entirely different person, you know? And we get to see, like, you know, how much of a threat it's causing to him. And he gets the symbiote off of him too, and it connects to Eddie Brock, which is Topher Grace. And now, there's a few problems with Venom in this movie. For starters, Topher Grace was really, you know, didn't really look like Eddie Brock. He just didn't. But that's not the big problem. The big problem in this movie was that, you know, they rushed the whole Venom thing. They not only rushed Venom in, but then they kind of rushed ending Venom too. So in this iteration, Venom was just rushed in general. That's just the way it was. And then the more recent iterations of Venom I've seen is on Marvel's Spider-Man, which is on Disney XD, where, first of all, you know, again, Peter Parker gets the symbiote attachment, thinks this is great, this is awesome, I have this new suit again, new abilities, this is so wonderful, and then again realizes, hey, this isn't so great after all. There's more, you know, bad than good to this suit, I need to get this thing off of me, and again, eventually does. And it was like a couple episode arc where they did this. And then we have where Flash Thompson, you know, gets attached to it for a second. And then for a while, Flash Thompson is Venom. And this was a very different Venom. I don't really even think Flash Thompson knew he was Venom. Because episodes later, you know, Venom shows up again. And this thing, Venom shows up. And Peter Parker's like, what the heck is this? How is this even possible? And it's because, well, Flash Thompson happens to have this symbiote attached to him. And eventually the symbiote gets unattached to him and, you know, we don't see Venom for a while. And then in this more recent season, earlier in this season, season two, we have come up where, you know, Eddie Brock is having similar issues where, you know, Peter Parker is getting all these great photos and videos of Spider-Man and Eddie Brock is not. And J. Jonah Jameson is threatened to fire him and, you know, giving less and less jobs and therefore less and less money. So there's that hatred for, you know, for Peter Parker there again, and the symbiote, because it rejected, you know, Peter Parker doesn't like him either. So when they come together again, it's this big threat, and it's different from Flash Thompson because they again, when they connect, when the symbiote and Eddie Brock connect, they both, like, you know, have a hatred for the same person again. So it comes down to, again, where, you know, it's this big dangerous battle, this big dangerous foe. He knows who, you know, Spider-Man is, and this time he has Miles to help him, but still, it's this whole thing of, like, you know, the symbiote is really this dangerous, powerful thing, and how that arc ended was the symbiote really didn't get separated from Brock, not really, because there was too strong of a bond there. So those are the past iterations of Venom, and there's been talk of a Venom movie being made since about, like, the late 90s, early 2000s. So it's not something that's like, you know, just, oh, we're just going to do this one day. No, it's been talked about for a while. And I'll admit, when I first saw trailers for this, I was not impressed. I was like, because they're doing a Venom movie without Spider-Man at all. It's not there at all in any way, shape, or form. The movie actually takes place in San Francisco, not in New York. So it's kind of strange. And to me, the movie didn't look that good. I wasn't too excited to see it. I wasn't looking forward to see it. And I just had a hunch it was going to bomb and bomb hard. And before I saw it, when I was hearing a lot of critics weren't too ecstatic about it and were kind of bashing it, my thoughts were kind of being confirmed. But I decided, you know what? I'll give the movie a shot. I'll give it a try. And for starters, it's definitely a different Venom film from previous ones, and it starts a little bumpy and rocky at first. It just does. But I will say this. You know, when Eddie Brock, Tom Hardy, connects with the symbiote, there's a lot of good banter between the two of them throughout the whole film. There really is. That's probably one of the higher points of this film. Venom looks a little silly, but at the same time, he does look better than in Spider-Man 3, but that's not saying much, because that movie really was atrociously awful. Just the facts. And, also, like, you know, the, it's not that bad of a story. It's not perfect. It has its flaws, that's for sure. There's some strong points in this film. There's some weak points in this film. The film's a little long. It's not about an hour 40. But it runs a little. It drags a little long toward the end. And yet, we get to learn about Venom, the symbiote itself. We get to kind of get a better look at Eddie Brock. And again, it's a different Eddie Brock. It's not necessarily bodybuilder Eddie Brock. It's Eddie Brock, you know, who had his own little like thing, like little podcast of sorts, you know. And he was working for a station, and he loses his job, he loses his girlfriend, he loses the place, he loses all those things. And again, when he finds a symbiote, they're kind of made for each other, because, you know, turns out the symbiote on his world is kind of not exactly a popular person either. So at first, you know, it looks like Venom wants to do whatever it wants, and, you know, Eddie is kind of like being taken for a ride. And as the movie progresses, they actually do kind of build a relationship and kind of a shared understanding. And I'll admit it's a little weird that this movie is PG-13, because it seems like it should have been a bit, you know, rougher, or maybe like more violent than it was. But I won't say I hated it either. I liked it more than I thought it would. It was good. I can't say it's the best movie I've ever seen or the best Marvel movie I've ever seen. It's kind of on the level of, like, maybe, well, it's a little bit higher than Ant-Man, but it's not a bad movie. You know, you'll enjoy it. I wouldn't mind watching it again, but I wouldn't say you have to, you know, pay a lot of money to see it or see it in 3D. I wouldn't say you need to do that, but it was good. It was fun. There's actually a really interesting twist there and a surprise cameo at the in the first scene as far as after credit scene. I won't spoil it, but I was actually pretty surprised by it. I was like, wow, I did not see that coming. That's pretty interesting. And I think this film will do well enough for there'll probably be a sequel. I think it's got an okay chance at happening. I don't know about the supposed trilogy that Tom Hardy signed on for. I don't know about that. But I think a sequel is not insane with how it was an enjoyable film. So that movie, of course, is out in theaters now. And yeah, you know, I think most fans will like it. It won't be for everybody. That's for sure. And there are a few little loopholes and things that don't make sense toward the end. But like I said, I really can't say I hated this movie. I just can't. I left going, all right, it was good. It was fun. You know, so, yeah. I think it'd be a film that, you know, if you are a fan of Venom and you want to see not a bad film, I would say check it out. So, other than that, we're going to take ourselves another short little break, and we will be back in a few minutes.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Hello there, everybody. We are back again with some more sci-fi topic, sci-fi news for you. So, there was some Chris Evans news this week that, you know, is kind of a bummer to hear. So, Chris Evans actually originally got his start, I believe, in the Fantastic Four movies. He was Johnny Blaze. Now, I have not seen either of these movies, but I haven't really heard they're amazing or they're wonderful. Man, you have to go run out and see them now. I don't think the first one probably was that bad, but the Rise of the Silver Surfer, that one sounded pretty weird. And let's be honest, the last Fantastic Four didn't look too mind-blowingly amazing either. So he got his start there, but where I at least first saw him in the MCU was in Captain America: The First Avenger. And this film basically, like, you know, started off where, you know, Steve Rogers wants to go into World War II and, you know, and fight and protect his country, but he's, you know, a really thin kid, a sickly kid, an asthmatic kid or person, I guess is the better term to say. And he keeps getting rejected. He keeps, like, you know, trying to get in, and his best friend Bucky Barnes, you know, gets in, and he just feels like, I want to, you know, do more and give more and, you know, and fight for my country, but they're not going to let him because of his health issues, which he does have many, by the way. And it's an origin story is what it is. It takes place, I want to say, around the 30s or the 40s is where it takes place. And, you know, eventually he gets the chance to, you know, go into the army. Tommy Lee Jones does a great job as his, you know, like one of the generals and kind of a drill sergeant at sorts sometimes. So he does a great job. We have Haley Atwell as Peggy Carter, the first time we get to meet her. And I think she does an amazing job with the role, by the way. And the film basically, like, you know, goes where he gets this super soldier serum, where it does, it makes him taller and stronger and gives him all these powers. And he literally becomes technically the first Avenger, because no human has ever been like this before, at least not as far as they know. And it's, he gets to be a part of, it's not S.H.I.E.L.D., but it's got another name, but he gets to be a part of that. And originally he's just kind of used to, you know, help drum up like enrollment for the war and people signing up. He's kind of basically like, you know, his performer. And the guy who created the serum gets shot and killed by one of the Hydra agents who was secretly there when they did it. We get to see Howard Stark, you know, Tony Stark's son, father, so we get to see him in this movie. And basically, like, you know, Red Skull we get to see in this movie, and we just get to see, like, you know, the gist of, like, how Captain America came to be and how he tried to bring down Hydra and, you know, the whole battle in the end where he gives his own life. And then he wakes up, you know, 70-something years later, and, you know, the world has changed, and now S.H.I.E.L.D. does exist, and he's a part of that. And we get to see previous films after that. We get to see, you know, The Winter Soldier, where he finds out his friend Bucky Barnes is still alive, and he's a Hydra agent and an assassin. We get to see next in Avengers, we get to see, you know, where he joins the Avengers, how they all slowly come together. Then we've gotten to see, we get to see, like, you know, for, Civil War, where, you know, a drift happens with the Avengers team. And most recently we got, you know, Infinity War. So we get to, we got to, like, those who watch that, it was definitely, you know, we get to see this team kind of trying to come together again with this great threat, you know, who really has a very, very dangerous mission, you know, a goal in mind that they need to try to stop. And so we got to see that movie. And I guess what happened recently, like, you know, in the last maybe like couple of weeks, couple of months, is they wrapped up Avengers 4, which we still don't know what the name of it is, by the way. It's Avengers 4. That's all we know. We don't know Avengers what. We don't know if it's like Endgame or if it's something else. We really don't know. But Chris Evans went on Twitter today, earlier this week, and said, you know, pretty much farewell to Captain America. You know, playing the character, being the character, you know. And it was a good emotional farewell, but, you know, for some fans, me included, it was kind of like, you know, torn. I was torn. Because Chris Evans has talked about wanting to kind of, you know, stop being the character for a while now. That's what he's wanted to talk about doing. He's, you know, because he's had a good run playing it. He's had fun playing it, but he's played the character for 8 years in a lot of movies, right? And So I can understand where he's at, but it's kind of a bummer too, because he does such an amazing job as Steve Rogers slash Captain America. He just does. I mean, and there's a lot of unanswered questions when it comes to this character too, at least in the MCU. So from Captain America: Civil War, where you basically have to see the Avengers kind of like, you know, split into two factions, one that's like, yay, Sokovia Accords, and one that's like, yeah, we're not doing that. And also not helping where we find out Bucky Barnes was the one who ended up killing, you know, Tony Stark's parents. So that didn't help things. And from then to Infinity War, Captain America changed a lot. He had a beard, his shield was gone, his armor was different, you know, suit was different. So something happened in that 2-3 year gap with him that we really don't know much about. Also, a few things have happened to Captain America in the comics lately, and I haven't read these personally, but I've heard about these. So one thing that happened in the comics lately that had a number of fans in uproar was, it turns out Captain America all along was a sleeper agent for Hydra. That's what supposedly happened, you know, where he was this all along and he didn't know it, and that's something that happened in the comics for a while. Now, another thing that happened in the comics that was a big deal was, I think eventually Steve Rogers did actually become old and just wasn't able to be, you know, Captain America anymore, and supposedly Falcon took over. So what does this news mean for Captain America in the MCU? Well, really what it means is something like that may happen in Avengers 4. I don't personally think that Captain America, the character, is going to die, Steve Rogers. I don't think so. It just doesn't seem likely to me, because if he survived Infinity War, a lot of superheroes didn't survive that, by the way. I won't say who, but a lot of superheroes did not survive that. But he did. So I don't think he's going to die in Avengers 4, I don't think. But I think that what could happen is, yeah, maybe one of those things I just said could happen. Like I said, maybe he's a Hydra agent this whole time, and he gets woken up. Who knows? Because Hydra's still around. That they are. They're still around there, you know. And there could even be some other organization out now, or something like that may happen to him. Or like I said, maybe he finally just, you know, does have that happen, and someone else has to take over the mantle. So, I wanted to bring that up. It's real big news for the MCU, and I do want to say thank you, Chris Evans, for playing Captain America Steve Rogers so well. You have brought something really special to this character. You brought something really special to all the films you've played him in. You've played on all his nuances and everything, and well, you know, you will be missed, because I don't know, you know, if anyone could ever play him as well as you have. I just don't know if it's possible. I don't know if I could see that happening, but yeah, and you know what? We'll probably hopefully find out sooner than later what's going to happen to him and the character. And it'd be great, too, sooner than later, if we got a name for the next Avengers movie and an idea what it's going to be. Because in the comics, there's a number of things that happens there, but there's already things in the movie that didn't happen in the comics and vice versa. That's just the way it is. So we still have a bit of time. This movie doesn't come out till May next year, but it would be kind of nice sooner than later to know some more about this film and where it's going and where it plans on taking its audience. So until then, I really wanted to bring that up, and I think it's very, very big news for the MCU and for this character. And like many fans, I'm a little, you know, bummed out to hear it and a little, you know, heartbroken, but at the same time, you know what, he had a good run, an 8-year run, and he did. He got to play, like, you know, Captain America in a way that I don't know if had really been played before. And he hadn't really been in a movie before, at least not in the MCU, until, you know, First Avenger onwards. So yeah, you know, we'll see what happens next and where this character and this series goes from now. Because there's already a few other films that have been announced, but you know, there's also a lot that are just speculation at this point too. So yeah, other than that, that is all the sci-fi news I have for you for this episode. We did cover a lot, and definitely, yeah, I hope that you enjoyed it. I know I had a lot of fun bringing it to you. And other than that, thank you very much for listening, and have yourself a wonderful rest of the day.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Sci-Fi Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.